I'm excited to share the word of the Lord with you today in the scriptures. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your living word that is active, that is relevant to our lives today. We open ourselves to it, to hear from heaven, to hear your instruction, to hear your wisdom and your guidance on how we ought to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I'm just going to talk to you again today like I did a couple weeks ago. When I was in college, there was a campus ministry that decided to have outreach on campus. I didn't know what the name of it was. I didn't know that it even was a campus ministry. All I knew was that I looked out of my dorm window. I saw food, and some games. And I said, well, and a lot of students gathered on the lawn there. I said, well, let me go check this out. So I went down there and I checked in, as it were, and they had this little card, before you went inside. It said, it asked you two questions. It said, what's your name? What dorm do you live in? And it said, are you open to having conversations about faith? Yes or no? And I checked, well, yeah, sure, why not? And then the next question was, do you believe in God? Yes or no? And I said, oh, yeah, check. And then handed them the card, said, where's the food? I went in, had ate pizza, ate cotton candy, lots of stuff, had fun. And then a couple weeks later, I get a knock on my door, and it was two students, and they said, we're from blankety blank 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 ministry, and we're here to have a conversation with you about faith. He filled out the card and said you're open to having a conversation. I said, oh, sure, come on in. And they came in, they talked with me, and, I thought I knew it all because I was a Christian already, so I said, well, I don't need, in my head, but I wasn't rude or anything. But through that conversation, they connected me with a local gospel choir on campus, whom I'm sure you've heard me talk about tons of times. And it was really the beginning of God's work in my heart in college. And I look back on that and I say, man, they really thought this through in terms of how to have access to my heart and have an open conversation about faith. And, they had to think, okay, what time of year will be good for us to be to attract the college students? What do we need to get their attention? Food, fun, games. And then how do we kind of open the door respectfully to have these conversations? And I had that little card, which I didn't have to say yes. I could have said, no, I'm not interested. No, I don't believe. And they'd let me right in and still eat and have fun just like everybody else. But then they'd have to train. Okay, well, if we're gonna send some students to his dorm, what are they going to say? How are they going to have this conversation? So I'm sure they had to take the time to train up these college students, these who were already involved in the ministry, and prepare them and train them. All this thought and planning and thinking about how to get access to the hearts of the people they're trying to reach with the gospel. And this reminds me of a story that Jesus told when some of the religious leaders of the time were getting on his case about spending too much time with the outcasts, the ones who were perceived as immoral, the ones whose reputation was the lowest of the low. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus was explaining his actions. The first story he told was about the sheep and the shepherd, right? He had 100 sheep. You lose one And and guess what? I'm not just going to pretend like the one's not out there. I'm going to do everything I can to reach that one sheep. And so we talked about the passion and the heart, how God's heart aches for the lost. But Jesus didn't stop there. He told them another story to further explain why he was doing what he was doing. And this is what he said. He said, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, celebrate with me. I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one lost soul who turns to God. And I want us to turn our attention to these three things that this woman did in the story Jesus told. It says that she lit a lamp, and then she swept the house, and she searched carefully. Now, we kind of read that sometimes, we just kind of gloss over, okay, yeah, she searched for the coin. I got it, yeah. And then she celebrated at the end. Okay, got it. But if we think about the significance of what she did and who this woman was and where she lived, she was a poor woman because she only had 10 silver coins. That was her savings. And 10 silver coins, one silver coin is about a day's worth of wages. And so she was poor. And poor folks in that time in Palestine, where Jesus was from, they lived in very small homes. Most of them didn't have windows, so they were very dark. And the floor was made of rough stone. And so you had all these crevices in them. Kind of like, you know, if you've ever walked on cobblestone roads or any kind of road that's made up of stone, you have those crevices in the stone. And actually, archaeologists can date a home of that time period based upon the coins that got stuck in the crevices of the floor. So when you drop the coin in that kind of a house, it would likely get caught in one of these crevices in the floor. And you think to yourself, well, how am I going to find a coin caught in the crevice, one of these many crevices of the floor in my home, when it's dark and it's stuck in a crack? Well, this woman lit a lamp, which means, if it's dark, I need some light. So she's thinking, I need some light, so let me get a lamp. And then, how am I going to get it out of a crevice? Well, they had these things that we still use them today, broom, right? And it worked kind of like a toothbrush, where you take a toothbrush and it gets all the gunk out of the crevices of your teeth. That broom can get any of the stuff caught in the crevices of that floor, and you can tell you found your coin because it would tinkle. You know, you sweep and you listen, and it's kind of like tink, tink, up. There it is. So this is smart. What she did to find the coin wasn't just kind of, well, if I'm supposed to find it, I'll find it. Well, you know, if I wait long enough, my eyes can adjust to the darkness in the room. You know how that happens. You know, your eyes, you can see a little better if you wait a little while, right, to the darkness. But no, she said, what's the best way? What's the most effective way that I can think of to find this coin? I need some light, and I need some kind of tool that can help me get in these crevices. I could get down on my hands and knees and kind of rub with my fingers, but that's not the best way to do it that I can think of. So let me use a broom. And I just want us to pay attention to the fact that what she did was very intelligent. It was very thoughtful. It was smart. And sometimes we, in the Christian world, we think that God wants us to pack our minds away and put them in the corner. That somehow faith does not involve thought. That faith does not involve thinking things through. But in Romans chapter 8, it talks about those who walk according to the Spirit do what? Set their minds on the things that please the Spirit. And so if you want to talk about being a spiritual person or a spiritually mature person, spiritual maturity is represented by what you do with your mind. It's what you do with your mind that makes you spiritual or unspiritual. And so Jesus is telling these folks that are upset with him about hanging out with sinners that, look, I know what I'm doing. I've thought this through. I know that in order to have access to the hearts of men and women, I need to spend time with them. I need to talk with them. I need to meet them where they are. I need to go to where they live. I can't just expect them to come to me all the time. I have to go see them. So not only do we hear his passion from the parable of the lost sheep, but now we hear his thinking, his thoughtfulness, his strategy, his smarts in terms of reaching the people he came to find. And the same school of thought applies to us today. We have to think about how we are going to fulfill our mission as the church. We can't just say, well, if God wants us to reach people, we'll reach people. If God wants me to have that job, I'll get the job. Well, hold on. Didn't you put your resume together? Didn't you submit that resume? Didn't you try to call around and see if you had any contacts that had that knew some openings? You use some thinking there, right? And so I want us to think about how do we begin to use our brain power, our God-given brain power, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit to think through what are some effective ways that we can begin to reach our community. And one of the things I shared at the vision gathering that we had with the leadership a couple weeks ago was that almost 75% of unreached people, and when I say unreached people, I'm talking about folks with no religious background whatsoever, in Virginia, all right, are between 18 and 49. And then some folks said, well, afterwards, well, don't say 18 to 49 because then somebody might think you don't care about anybody who's not 18 to 49. But it's not about not caring about people who aren't 18 to 49. It's about thinking and saying, okay, if you know that almost 75% of people who don't know the Lord are a particular age bracket, then it only makes sense to be intentional to make sure that what you do can connect, can attract, can speak to, and is relevant to that particular group. Let me give you an example. If you have 20 people coming over to your house for dinner, and 15 of them are toddlers. First of all, you say, well, I don't even know if I would allow that to happen in the first place. But let's say you did. Let's say you had 20 people coming over your house and 15 of them were toddlers. You would make sure that you would make a concerted effort to make sure that things in your house were prepared to handle those toddlers. You'd make sure all the outlets were covered. If you had to feed them, then you'd make sure you didn't have steak knives at the table to cut their food. It might even change the menu because you want to make sure that these kids will not choke on anything, that they'll be able to digest it, that it'll be something that they will eat. And it's not because you love the toddlers more. It's just because you're just thinking about it. How can I accommodate the people that are coming to my house? You see? And so it's the same school of thought. How can we accommodate the people God is sending to Virginia, to Prince William County, to Dale Boulevard, to Hillendale Drive? How can we be effective in reaching them? Does it mean we have nothing for people who are below 18 or people who are above 49? Of course not. It means we want something for everyone. We want to be able to reach everyone. But if we're thoughtful if we're thinking through, if we want to be intentional, then maybe we have to be deliberate and make sure that whatever we do can meet that particular demographic. We're having some focus group meetings to talk about these things. And I'd like you to pray about that, to talk about how can we be effective in reaching Prince William County, Virginia, with the gospel, through worship, through discipleship, through our facilities, through outreach, through youth ministry. And I'd like you to be praying about that. And if you are a praying person and you are passionate about reaching those who do not know the Lord, please let me know. Put it on the back of your connection card. Say, Gareth, I'd really like to be involved in the conversation about worship, or the conversation about discipleship, conversation about youth ministry. And I will forward you our schedule of when we're supposed to be meeting. And if you can't come to that, but come to those meetings, we can have another conversation at a separate time, and we can include your thoughts in here. But I want us to think about how thoughtful Jesus was and how he calls us to be intentional and thoughtful in everything that we do. That woman could have said, well, I didn't grow up with a broom. We always used our hands. Or, I can't afford a lamp, so I'm just going to have to make do without a lamp. No. She thought, what do I know of that will be the most effective way to find this coin? What can I do? I need light. I need a broom. I need light. I need a broom. What is our light and our broom in 2016 to find those coins caught in the crevices of our society? People who are so busy trying to make it in this rat race of a world that they don't even have time to think about God or think about the meaning of life. They're just trying to survive, man. People out there, you know, just trying to make ends meet, just trying to make it, trying to make sure their kids don't get caught up in the foolishness that's going around in this area. Yeah, how do we reach them? Am I boring you? Are you with me? Okay, I haven't lost you, right? You know I love you, right? Okay. Because I want you to hear my heart, because, you know, and the reason I want to say that, and I want to talk about the 18 to 49 and just put it out there, is because I want you to know that doesn't mean that if you're not 18 and 49 that you don't matter. That's not what that means. It just means if we're going to be intentional and think through about people who don't know the Lord, people who are not here, some of them are our grandchildren, some of them are our children, some of them are our neighbors, some of them we go to school with, then let's work together as a church to think through how can we reach them. Amen. And I believe God will honor our thinking. Amen. God will honor when we bring our brains together. All right. Doesn't the scripture say to whatever, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is of a good report, do what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Amen. Amen. Do you hear where I'm coming from this morning? Do you hear my heart this morning? Amen. Amen. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you taught us so much through the parables of Jesus. Not only through the sheep that was lost, but also through the coin that was lost. And this woman did something that was so smart. She thought about what's the best way to find this coin caught in this little crevice here. And here we are in 2016, and we've got lost folks caught in all kinds of crevices of our society, and we need to come together and find out how do we get them out. Because we know that your heart is aching, your heart is burning and yearning for them to come home. Some of them are our own family members. Some of them are our siblings. Some of them are our children, our grandchildren that we pray for every day. Lord, show us, help us to work together to find out how to reach them. And Lord, we know that it is better to give than to receive. That as we work together to reach those around us, we'll find our own purpose. We'll connect with what you want to do in our own lives, the ways that you want to develop us as disciples. And so I pray for every person in this room today, for the ministry that you've given them, whether it's writing, whether it's encouraging other people, whether it's whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you stir the gifts, Lord. Lord, and stir our minds to be able to begin to think and pray and think and pray and think and pray and think and pray how to reach this community that you love. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So why don't you take some time to think about what you want to do today.